There is a tandem in every soul.
You're listening to Lit Speak with Patty Sheen on Blog Talk Radio.
Some dark and cold, there is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a candle, and makes it home.
Morning and welcome. Here we praise the truth in God's creation through the ideas inspired by human imagination. During this hour, we hope to ignite your candle that you may use it to brighten the darkest corners in your world.
Hold out your candle for all to see. Take your candle and go light your world. Take your candle.
Good morning again, and welcome to Lit Speak right here on Blog Talk Radio and the Road Less Traveled Internet Ministries. As you join us on this journey, we invite you to listen for an idea that will inspire you to tap into your imagination. Today is Tuesday, the 24th of March. And Derek, how was your week?
You know, it was busy. It was spring break week.
Oh, geez. That's
and
right.
We got to go to my state, my son's state speech and debate tournament. And so got to put it out there. He got sixth in the entire state. He made finals. I'm so proud of him.
That is absolutely wonderful. I'm very proud of Jacob, too. I've known him for a number of years.
Him and Jeremy did a great job. Yeah, they did.
Well,
how was your week?
Well, I will have you know, my son
okay.
turned 32 years old yesterday.
Golly, you're old, Pat.
That goes to show that I am really, really over the hill. I thought, oh, my goodness, this is my youngest.
Yes,
it's
boy.
Kind of scary.
You're old.
I am old. I know.
I saw that on Facebook, by the way.
I'm sure you did.
Yeah, I wished him a happy birthday on all the way across the pond.
I know. I did a chat with him. We do the Gmail chat thing, and I chatted with him. What are you doing special for your birthday? Just relaxing, Mom. So good. Well, good for you. So I guess he's getting old, too.
Yeah, he's getting old, too. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. We're all getting old. We are all getting old. I'm so excited about our guest.
Well,
today.
We have a wonderful show today.
Yeah.
Folks, imagine living your normal everyday life until out of the blue an unexpected diagnosis rocks your world forever. How would you react? With fear? Helplessness? Would your faith take over and convince you that everything is going to be okay? Well, Halo Metzel was a happy, healthy wife and mother of three children who found joy in caring for her family and enjoying the life God had given her. In 2011, life as Halo knew it took a dramatic turn. Diagnosed with a rare brain tumor, Halo faced the reality of impending brain surgery with a degree of fear, but the confidence that she was in God's hands. Her physician had informed her she would be hospitalized for 6 days following surgery, but circumstances resulted in a much longer hospitalization and a grueling road to recovery. Halo joins us today to share her life-changing experience, her journey back to health, and how she gained a whole new perspective on her life and her relationship with God. Halo can be found on her webpage at halofoundhope.com. Her Twitter handle is the same. Again, Halo, H-A-L-O, Found Hope. And her Facebook page is also Halo Found Hope.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome, Halo. It's a pleasure to have you here on the show with us today.
Good morning, Pat. Good morning, Derek. Beautiful to be with both of you.
Well, we realize that you went through a harrowing experience, Halo. I cannot really
imagine what it was
because
like.
I have never been there, but Derek has.
And yeah.
What have you been through, Derek?
I was diagnosed. I was having symptoms, and they believed that I had a cyst that was growing in. That they, when they originally saw it on the film, they thought it was a cyst, and so we weren't going to do anything about it. But then symptoms got worse, losing vision, losing hearing, having tremors, those types of things. So they decided to go in, and they found out it was benign, but it was almost like a sponge. Type of foreign body that was sitting right on my pineal cyst, right in the middle. So they went in and took it out, and then 1 year later had to go back in and try and they weren't able to get it out. They had to pick it, and
okay.
of course didn't get all of it. It grew back. They went in again and tried to get it out. Couldn't put a shunt in, just an intracranial shunt. And mm-hmm. then 2 days later, if you remember, Halo, do you remember the after the surgeries, the drain tubes that come out of the back of your head?
In my situation, I didn't have that. I didn't have drain. Well, at least if I did, I don't remember because I went comatose. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
so
there's little
know.
Drain tubes that come out that drain fluid off, and they went to take it out. Of course, they're sutured onto your skull, and they pulled one. And it snapped off and went back in my head, so I had to have another craniotomy to get that out. So anytime now that I hear loud snapping noises, I shoot back to that. But I was particularly moved by the picture that we have of you in ICU, and I had asked my wife when I was doing the slides this morning if that's what I had looked at. You know, you have the turban on and the ventilator. Yeah, if that's what I had looked like. So. I was very interested in this interview this morning.
God bless you. I'm so thankful that not only the great physician, but those physicians surrounding you, that he watched over their hands and that you are here talking. They were both talking to each other this morning.
Absolutely.
Well, that's the truth, Halo. He mm-hmm. was Derek was our pastor for 12 years at
wow.
my church. And, mm-hmm. yeah, we
went through all of that
with
him. Yes.
And just kind of did our best to support him.
I have a strong admiration for pastors, and so God bless you, Pastor Derek. You keep spreading that word.
Thank you. We'll try.
Absolutely.
Amazing.
He still
yeah,
is.
I met with pastors. They read my book a few weeks ago, and we sat there and we interviewed, and I showed them the video book trailer, and three of them started to cry. And they said, you should have told us and handed out tissue first. And I said, look, I'm still standing here. I'm still alive. We're all alive in Christ, whether we stay here or when he calls us home. It's all good, pastors. Don't you cry no more. So, it's, you know, it's that
true.
New discovery and strength found in knowing that Jesus is our light. And
absolutely.
When you put me on hold and I heard that song, Ignite Our Candle Amidst the Darkness, you should have seen me right now because I was dancing going, thank you, Jesus, you're right. You know, in that dark setting when we
yeah.
hold on to Jesus in that light and how no matter what we're going through, he can lighten it for us. So
absolutely.
It's one of my favorite songs. And when Derek and I
mm-hmm.
talked about putting together the show and he talked about doing a music
opening,
I said, I know what I want. And
yeah.
I knew what I
yeah.
And you were right with what you're doing there, Pat. That was a great choice.
Well, Halo,
great choice.
Tell us what kind of symptoms, excuse me, goodness. We know what kind of symptoms Derek experienced. Your symptoms were a little bit different prior to the diagnosis.
Yeah,
I'll
share some and then go a little backwards with it. I think, you know, hindsight, I would have paid closer attention to my symptoms. Looking back, I learned what they were, and I'll share those in a minute. But the main complaints that I had were ringing in my ear that got so loud at night that I couldn't sleep. And, you know, Halo, the one who likes to research things, decided to do so and figured, oh, well, 50 million Americans suffer from tinnitus. Don't worry about it, Halo. Go back to sleep. You know, count sheep. Think of something else, and it'll go away. But it continued to get so loud, I still couldn't sleep at night. And so that was one of my main concerns and what drew me to go see my ear, nose, and throat physician. The other symptoms I were having were I thought I would hear voices in my head. And
you said, maybe
that.
I'm a writer?
Maybe I'm a writer. Maybe I'm going to write a book. I had never thought I would, but God told me something different later. I would hear voices in my head, and I'd think, is that from Little Women? Is that from Pride and Prejudice? What, you know, and then it would stop. And I'd feel a little faint, but I wouldn't faint. And I told my dad, who's a retired physician, about it, a rehabilitation physician. He said, Halo, don't worry about it. I love you, dear, but you're a type A triple mom. You've got too much on your plate. Your to-do list is so long. You're just stressed. Don't worry about it. But that was not the case. And later I learned those were auditory hallucination seizures.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Wow. Didn't you also experience a very strong taste of metal?
It would be brief. I would taste it. It wouldn't last long. I'd have this brief metallic taste in my mouth, and I thought, "Wow, what's that from?" And I was in a building that was painted often, and almost weekly. And I attributed that funny taste in my mouth to that, because often when I had that happen, the voices in the head and the you know, feeling faint, and it happened most often in that building. So that's what I was attributing to. It happened over a 2 month, you know, course period, and I was in that building sometimes 3 times a week, and the one day it happened 3 times, and it was when I was in that building. So that's what I was attributing it to.
And that would make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did. And my dad's a great doctor, and it made sense to him too. And I love my father, and I thought, well, that reasoning makes sense. But then God made that ringing in my ear a lot louder. It got louder and louder and louder, and that's when I went to see my ear, nose, and throat physician.
Mm-hmm. I think sometimes God tries to, well, they say if you're experiencing pain, that's God, that is your body's way of telling you something is wrong.
Absolutely.
And so many of us ignore that. We either I think sometimes we feel like we're being wimpy.
Right.
or we just don't want to know what we could possibly be told.
I
so we ignore it. Sure, we ignore it hoping it will go away.
I put up with my my tremor in my hand and would hide it. And did that for a long time, almost a year, before it finally got so bad that I thought, you know, probably my hand is not supposed to do this. So,
I like to wave to people, but this is not the way to do it. Yeah.
That's exactly right, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Halo, you went to surgery. I briefly explained in the introduction that you were told you would be in the hospital for about 6 days. You went to surgery with the expectation that you would be out of the hospital in less than a week, but what happened?
I'll backtrack just a little bit because we were talking about my diagnosis and how I discovered all of this. What happened was is the ringing in my ear brought me into the ear, nose, and throat physician, and he said, let's do a dye contrast study on your ear for a treatable concern. I think you might have a benign tumor in your ear. So I sat back. I said, it's Friday. I am so busy. I have a basketball game to attend. I've got a lot on my plate, church on Sunday, guests for dinner. And I went in and I walked in. The nurse brought me back, and the doctor had brought in backup. Now there are two doctors sitting there instead of one.
Oh, that's
so,
Halo,
sit down. Sit down. This has nothing to do with your ear. You have a tumor the size of a golf ball, and it's lying over the main artery in your brain. Mm. My to-do list drops to the floor. I'm in a complete state of shock. I said, get my dad on the phone. I need the three of you to talk, because I have a feeling I'm not going to remember anything you're talking about.
Right.
So I got my dad on the phone, and now it's three doctors talking in the room. I've never felt more frightened and alone. And at that moment, it was they figuratively reached up and said, Jesus, hold on to me, and do not let go of me. And peace started to settle over my heart.
Mm.
I was still in shock, but God was meeting me. And then my parents came to pick me up, and they told the physician also during conversation that I would be in the hospital for approximately 6 days. My appointment was scheduled with my neurosurgeon the following Monday, and then following surgery, we would find out from the neurosurgeon how long I would be in the hospital. And so I had my to-do list up again. I'm thinking, okay, what do I need to get done before I go in for surgery? So.
And then you went through the surgery. You thought you were going to be getting out. And then what happened that prevented you being released as soon as you thought you would be?
I thought I would be released in those 6 days. That would be manageable. But there's nothing like going into a hospital in January and waking up in March. I woke up before that, but I don't remember much of it. And wondering where time went. My brain, my brain tumor of diagnosed tumors was 1 in 2 million, and you touch it, it's like touching poison ivy, and it caused my brain to dangerously swell. The longest that my neurosurgeon ever had someone in the hospital in 29 years of practice following brain tumor removal was 6 days. And it shocked him when I ended up in much longer than projected. And I was in the ICU for 3 weeks and then transferred to inpatient rehabilitation, relearning how to walk, talk, eat, think, all over again. I'm thankful today that I now know how to dance, laugh, think.
Oh, yeah. Goodness, I would think so.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would think so. And you know, Halo, during that time that you were going through rehab, of course, the part of the theme of our show is imagination. Did you find yourself imagining yourself back to a state where you were before this all happened?
Oh,
that part
that
of
became
what
necessary.
Helped
you? Yeah, that became necessary. I needed to, because if I'm sitting there and I can't make my legs move, or if I'm flopping over like a Raggedy Ann doll, or if I'm trying to put a spoon to my mouth and slobbering all over the place, I'm thinking I'm not a baby. This is not how I'm supposed to eat. Mm-hmm. I'm 50 years old. At that time, I'm 46. I should be able to sit up straight, not flop over. I should be able to, you know, wash my own hair. I should be, and I had contorted double vision for 20 weeks. And mm-hmm. I'd say, I know that they're not two of everybody. There's not two of them.
You said something in the book about having six kids instead of three and two husbands.
Yeah, I told my husband I had that double vision. I looked at him and I said, there are two of you, honey. I'm not sure which one to hug. And I said, you know, the beautiful thing is I've got one of you that gets to dote on me and flirt with me, and the other one gets to clean house. And he said, Halo, I love you, but I choose to be number one over number two. I'll be the dote and flirter. And the house was, and the funny thing with the double vision is the house looked, it was a mess because, you know, my kids adore me and my family adores me, but a lot of them, they were all taking care of me. And the house, although it was a mess, it was double the mess. You know, I'm like, whoa, this house, what happened here?
I said that to Christine when I had the double vision. I said, I'm the luckiest man in the world. I have two wives.
Mm-hmm. And they both look as beautiful
and
as you.
I don't think I said that. But yeah, I remember that, yeah.
I cannot imagine the frustration that a person must go through, though, Halo, in not being able to do the very simplest tasks of daily living. My husband had some, not near to the degree that you two did, but he had some experience with limited mobility and so such, because he had an issue with his leg and his foot and was in a wheelchair and all this, but it can't be even begin to compare to what someone who is used to getting up out of a chair and walking across the room can't even do that anymore. I just have
you
a
know,
higher
Pat, it's interesting when you bring that up. It doesn't compare, and I've had a lot of people share with me, wow, I've been through something difficult, but it doesn't compare to what you've been through, Halo. And to that, my response has always been, none of us walk the exact same journey.
Mm-hmm.
And what you are going through, my dear friend, is difficult for you right now, but it's still something that you can hand to God and watch Him take you through it. If we all went through the exact same thing, we would not be able to turn around and help one another. You know,
Very true.
For me in my journey, wow, God pulled me through something absolutely you know, horrifying. It was terrifying. But I'm not the only one who gets scared. I would say every single one of your listeners either has, is, or knows someone who's going through something difficult.
This is true.
And that's when we need to cling on to God.
And I agree. I'm not downplaying what he went through.
Oh, no, and I hear you.
He went through a lot.
When you said that, it reminded me. I know that you're not downplaying it at all. I've often heard that, like they'll hear my story and go, wow, oh, mine doesn't compare.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I meant by it. And to them, I always say, it's okay, you know, and they appreciate that because they're like, you know, you're right. You've set my day in perspective, but I'm still struggling. And,
well, I always said God knew what He was doing by giving all this to Him, because I would not have done well.
Mm-hmm. No, and I love what he does with it.
More independent as he possibly could. I was just overwhelmed by his independence and his determination. And he's just really something else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then she moved on to. I'm assuming moved on to rehab then, Is that right? With Halo?
Halo, yeah. That's what you were saying.
Moved on to rehab, and, you know, just you struggle so much to get through the actual surgery, to get out of the bed, to get from the ICU to the rehab, and then it doesn't get any easier from there.
Well, in rehab, I was sleeping approximately 19 hours a day still.
Sure.
And they had this goal that I do 3 hours of therapy a day. And my husband's like, I don't think that's going to work. My wife is, you know, she's a stubborn one, but I just don't see her doing 3 hours a day. And, you know, at one point during rehab, my husband walked into the room. He says, there's another doctor on his way to see you. And I said, oh, dear, what's this one for? And he said, well, this one needs to determine whether you get to stay here or go to a long-term care facility. And I'm thinking in my head, I wasn't putting it all together. Long-term care facility, long-term care. Oh, that's home. So I said, do you mean I get to go home now? And my husband said, no, they need to see whether or not you need to go to a nursing home.
Mm.
And I could see the sadness in my husband's face.
Yeah.
And I looked at him and I winked. I said, I love you. I said, help me get ready to see the doctor. I am not going to a nursing home. And, you know, but I sat up again. I'm frail, you know, and my husband's helping me get dressed. And I'm like, you know, do my hair, fix me up. I you know, got to present myself well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in walked that doctor dressed in the suit and carrying a clipboard. And I'm feeling like I'm about to face a medical inquisition.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And he asked me all this flood of questions. And, you know, and my answers are simple. I'm paraphrasing what I wrote in the book. But there are several pages, to say the least, and I can't open it right up to it right now. But, you know, it was, I know I'm here, but I don't want to be.
Sure.
My brain's not cooperating with what I'm used to here.
Yeah.
Hey, Lo, we're going to go to a commercial break here in a few minutes. And upon our return, we will, of course, discuss your book.
Mm-hmm.
And also another question I would like to explore with you when we come back. I know your relationship with God significantly changed as you traveled the difficult path that you did. And what I'm curious to know is, was God a very important part of your life from childhood on?
Yeah.
Or
right.
did he become majorly important after this happened? So that's one of the couple of the things that I would like to explore with you when we come back from our break.
And also when we come back from our break, we'll be announcing...
And when we come back from break, we'll be announcing the winner of our giveaway from last week. This is Derek.
Do I get to say hello to this person, or can I mention their name and say hello? Beautiful to meet you. Enjoy the read.
Oh,
you might just be able to do that.
You might. And then, of course, later on.
If they're not on the phone, I can still say hello, whatever your name is. I'll write it down.
Well, the thing is, we won't know who won her book yet.
Oh, that's right. We don't
because
know who won your book until
next
week, Halo.
This will be the winner of last week's giveaway.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't want to say beautiful that they won a book, but if it's still, I'm glad we clarified that.
That's right. Yeah. But what am I thinking?
Hey,
folks have a week to enter the drawing, Halo. I don't know what I was.
But you
thinking.
Know what? Next week, when we give away her book, we'll just get Halo on the phone again.
We could do that.
That would be fun. Halo's back. I found you guys. I'm so excited
That's right. Halo's back. So we've got to go to break.
She found the radio station again. Here she is, folks. Okay.
Okay, you listen to
Found Hope. She found us. Let's go.
Listen to Literally Speaking right here on Blog Talk Radio and the Less Traveled Internet, Ministries. We'll be right back.
Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled. And that has made all the difference. The Road Less Traveled Internet Ministries. Derek and George Live. Becoming Christ-like. Solo and Hutch. All stops on the road. The road of enlightenment. The road of discovery. Join us each Thursday and Friday morning at 8 a.m. Mountain Time and Saturday evening at 6 p.m. Mountain Time as we invite you to join us on a journey. A journey on the road less traveled. Right here on Blog Talk Radio.
If you watch a game, it's fun. If you play it, it's recreation. But if you work at it, it's golf. A golf course should aspire to generate as much energy as it consumes. And 4 miles north of Marion, Indiana is a golf course that does just that. 6,690 yards of pure energy. Arbor Trace Golf Club is a course that's beauty is matched only by its bite. A course that can test not only the steel of one's nerves, but the metal of their irons. It's a course for the beginner who desires to learn the game as well as the player who is ready to challenge it. So whether you're looking to play just for the fun of the game or the opportunity to work hard on it, Arbor Trace Golf Club is the course for you. Give Arbor Trace Golf Club a shot, because in golf, the most important shot you ever make is the next one.
Stay connected to what matters most with high-speed service from Secom. For the home, we offer access where you need it most. Whether you're looking for high-speed internet or an in-home voice package or both, Secom has your house covered. Send emails, download music, and surf the web with the fastest service in Southeast Colorado. Our two-way wireless connections offer download speeds of up to 15 megabytes, but with a fiber connection, the sky is the limit. For the business, Secom offers voice plans, broadband internet, DSL, and Ethernet circuits. Our fully integrated Metro Ethernet platform segregates your data traffic logically at the switch, avoiding the latency of multiple routers and quality of service overhead. With only a single router between you and our nationwide backbone carriers, you really will experience the internet at the speed of light. We also offer point-to-point data links to connect all of your business locations. And if you're looking for carrier-grade data transport or dark fiber, look no further than Secom's extensive privately owned fiber network. We own and maintain our own network with more than 1,200 miles of fiber and growing throughout Southeast Colorado. So whether you're looking for dark fiber, for cable, a dedicated corporate network, or carrier-grade data transport, Secom has the answers. Visit us at secom.net or call us at 1-800-657-7149. Secom, world-class communications right in your backyard.
Hello to all of Derek's listeners. Thanks, Derek, for giving me time to share my heart's passion, encouraging cancer, long-term illness patients, and their families. Gilead is an outreach that encourages over 2,400 people in 38 states. Our goal is to bring hope and help to those on the journey through the unknowns of treatment, family stress, and spiritual questions. One such story is Eric, whose senior year in high school was interrupted by the cancer that he was diagnosed with, interrupting a three-sport high school year. It changed his life and his perspective. Today, Eric's family oversees a foundation helping to find a cure. We're currently in our 15th year. We'd love to have you as a partner, either as a volunteer or a gift financially. Look for us on Facebook at Gilead Ministries.
Welcome back to Let's Meet with Patty Sheen on Blog Talk Radio.
You're right back here on Let's Speak on Blog Talk Radio with with our guest, Halo Matzel. Halo, prior to the break, I had asked you to consider a thought that I would like to discuss with you, which is your relationship with God. Was it something that had been important to you since childhood, or did you grow a relationship with the Lord later on in life, and especially during this time in your life?
My relationship with God started, you know, in my home. We were raised Presbyterian, and
yay!
I remember going.
There you go. There you go. Yeah.
My husband was raised Catholic, and but anyway, I remember that my parents would, you know, they would help in Sunday school, and I never could figure out why it was okay when they brought out the little juice and Dixie cups and the little animal crackers, and I wanted to have at them and keep going. My mom would say, "That's enough, my dear," and she'd turn her back and go, "I get a little bit more, don't I?" And would keep enjoying those animal crackers and juice. And now that I'm 50, I hold back from doing that sort of thing. But you know, I think in terms of my faith, wow, you know, as a 6 or 7 year old, it's much different than it is as you grow older. Although I think that there's an innocence that children have in their faith. You know, I've heard story after story. In fact, I met a little young boy the other day. He said, "I love God. He's so amazing. He knows how to keep me strong when I don't want to be. He helps me do my chores if I want to grumble, because Mama told me I'm supposed to respect the parents because God said so." So it's, you know, there's a difference in out of the mouths of babes, they say, you know, what children will my faith is, you know, God has pulled me through a lot. And as we grow older, it's beautiful to see what he can do in the midst of adversity and make us stronger. So my faith before surgery was one of, I thought I had a great relationship with God. I thought I was spending enough time with him. I went to church. I, you know, got involved. I read my Bible. I prayed a lot. I spent time with him. I thought I spent enough time with him.
Mm-hmm.
After my surgery, that changed. And upon diagnosis is when it started. I felt like I was walking with God every minute, and likely because I was in a state of complete shock and fear. But that was a place where I now see that God was saying, "Halo, will you trust me?" And not just trust portions of your day or where, the parts of your life that you think you want to give me, but all of it. I need you to trust me with everything. And that's where my faith blossomed and grew in ways I never imagined. I thought I loved God enough before surgery. And I realized afterward that I wasn't loving him as much as I should.
Halo, did you ever have a period of time during this whole ordeal when you felt angry at God, like, "Thanks a lot, why me?" Did you ever have that experience?
Oh, absolutely. I don't know anyone that would go through something like this and not be angry.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, God, really? I thought I'd been following you all along. I know that you love me.
Yeah, because I know Derek experienced that. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, what do you mean I've got a golf ball type tumor in my head? I don't have time for this.
Yeah.
You know, why did you let this happen?
Yeah.
And,
yeah. Yeah, I had done that as well, Halo. I was I was probably even further into the anger realm than most people, and just very immaturely would scream out to God, you know, "I've done everything that you wanted me to do. I've been a pastor. I've done all this. You owe me." You know, and it seems like the right thing to say at that moment. And then you look on, in hindsight, you look back and say, "Oh my gosh, how could I have said that?" But I did. I would scream out, "Just, you know, this isn't fair. You owe me. I deserve better." And it's just being put in that place that makes us do that. So, but Pat, we forgot
yes,
to give away.
Oh my goodness. Our producer, Jim, just shouted at me in my ear and said, "What are you doing? You didn't announce the winner of last week's giveaway." I said, "Oh, man."
There's I think he's got a dog in the hunt on this one.
That's the first thing we do. We come back from the break. And
that's
he's
right.
So anxious to have us announce the winner because, actually, the name that is going to go over the airwaves is him.
Yeah, that's right. He won.
Our winner for last week's giveaway, which was the 3-book Irish historical romantic suspense series, Edge of Freedom series by Elizabeth Ludwig, is Jim Hutchison.
That's
congratulations,
right.
Jim.
Jimbo won. That's right. And that
congratulations, Jimbo.
See, there you go. You even got a congratulations from Halo.
That's right. Well,
that's
I'm excited
right.
because now Jim can, if Dixie isn't in the room anyway, he can take him and, he can watch the mail.
That's
and
right.
Take him and hide him and give him to her for her birthday or whatever.
Yeah. And then later
then
on.
Then he can pretend it.
And then later on, we'll have the other giveaway.
Of course.
We're going
to
do that one
have,
later.
And this actually leads into what I wanted to talk to you about next, Halo. We will be offering a giveaway here pretty soon for this show. But tell us about your book.
Yes.
Which is
about my book. Well, my book started as a diary hidden in a drawer. I never thought I'd write one. And then God said, I have a different idea for you in mind. Why don't you take that diary that you started and share it. And share with others where hope is found. And, you know, it's been a lot of fun. I remember I was filling my car with gas one day, and a gentleman offered to help me because I was struggling a little bit with that nozzle and trying to stick it in the car and all that. But he stopped by, and we were talking, and while we were filling the car with gas, he looked up, and he said, look at that eagle. I'm like, wow, that eagle is so beautiful. God made that. And he looked at me kind of amazed, and he goes, you know what, I point that eagle out often, and no one has ever been that enthusiastic about the eagle that I show. And I was reminded of Isaiah 40:31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Mm-hmm. And after talking with my friend Stevie, he looked at me and he said, Halo, don't you stop writing that book. You have a story to share.
Mm-hmm.
And I say we all do. He goes, yeah, but you've started yours. Other people may follow suit, and that'd be great. But share your story and encourage others. Mm-hmm. And so I've had my moments of feeling like I don't want, you know, quitting. But time and time again, God would show me there's a purpose behind this. There's a purpose behind what I pulled you through. So keep going, girl. So I did.
Yes. Yes. And, of course, as I told you, Halo, I read the book. And go ahead.
Thank you.
what was most amazing to me was just your undaunting courage and strength and trust. And I saw that trust grow over a period of time throughout the telling of your story. But you were just challenged with so much that I was very inspired by it.
Thank you. Yeah, I often would say, I know I'm fragile, but God is going to make me strong.
Mm-hmm.
I know sometimes I doubt, but God's going to help me trust.
Mm-hmm.
And I know sometimes I'm discouraged, but God's going to give me courage and determination. And he did, and he always does.
Mm-hmm. He sure did, yes.
Yeah.
Halo, in reading your book, I took some notes, things that I wanted to talk with you about today. One of the references that I really liked, you referred to yourself as becoming a safe friend. And although I have a general idea what that means, can you expound on what that means a little bit more and how a person can bring that characteristic into a friendship? And maybe not even just your situation, but in any situation, because I think it can apply in a general way, actually.
Sure.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, it was something that I was taught through this journey. The friends that encircled me and did so in a beautiful way, I learned character qualities that I had not yet instilled in myself to the magnitude that they often did with me. And for instance, I had a friend that was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer, and an extraordinarily frightening journey. She was, I believe, 49 years old at the time, 3 children, and lived, had everything going for her, and shocked upon the diagnosis. And I remember telling my dear friend, I want to be a safe one for you. And what I mean by that is, you can talk to me and let me know what you're afraid of, and I won't share it with anyone else but God. I won't take it anywhere else. I may share it with my husband and God, and that's it. I also want you to know that I'm not going to bring this up with you, your diagnosis and the upcoming surgery, unless you want me to, because you have to have times of normalcy as well.
Exactly.
And when you feel prepared to talk about what's going on, or you want me, you know, you want prayer, I will be that friend. Sometimes I'll be that friend who sits in a quiet corner with you, and all we do is sit and pray, or we just sit quietly. And that's what I meant by being that safe friend. And, you know, because oftentimes when many of us go through something difficult, we don't need to be reminded of it daily. We need normal moments. And, yeah.
And that's what I was going to say. I knew when my husband was going through what he was, it was nice to go to lunch with a close friend and be able to share
right.
the other normal things that were going on in somebody else's life
mm-hmm.
without being asked, how's he doing? What's going on? Would the doctor say this last time? Because basically the doctor said the same thing for a
right.
long period of time while he was waiting for one wound to be healed. And there were times when you just didn't want to talk about it.
Sure.
I mean, you appreciate the how are things going,
mm-hmm.
but if you say fine, then drop it right there.
Right.
You know, if I say not so good, and then you mm-hmm. want to expound on what's on your mind.
Mm-hmm.
But I think sometimes we tend to feel that when someone is going through something, you need to bring it up so they feel comfortable talking about it. That's not always the case.
Yeah.
So I very much like that you referred to the safe.
Mm-hmm.
Safe friend. Mm-hmm. We have, about 3 minutes before our giveaway?
Jimbo, how long do we have for a giveaway here?
Four minutes.
Okay, yeah, you've got time. Throw in another question. I like listening to Halo.
Thank you.
You do. You have a very, very nice sweet voice. Good radio voice.
I like listening to you guys giggle, laugh, and talk. We're having a great time together.
Yes.
You talk about your heightened appreciation for everything in life.
Yeah, heightened appreciation for everything. I hear every giggle there is. I love every second. All good.
I like that.
Yep.
Abilities, relationships, not taking anything for granted. And I think you already shared one example of how you react to people and circumstances after versus before your illness when you mentioned the eagle and the mm-hmm. fact that every little thing in nature, every little thing that your kids do. Is there anything you'd like to add to that before we go to giveaway?
I think I have a new greater appreciation for even simple things and outreach and helping others, even if it's in a small manner, is now contagious. And an example of that is I was in a warehouse and I was, you know, pushing my cart through and unloading and I did all that. And then the woman behind me, she had three children. They're little like cute little frogs crawling all over the cart. One screaming, could hear it probably a mile away, so loud. And the mom was frustrated and getting angry. And I said, hey, do you mind if I help you? And she said, if you think you can. And I had fun with the kids. I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. lift up the eggs, lift up the sugar. This is going to be for those cookies that you're going to help mom make later. And when we mm-hmm. were all done, the mom looked at me and she goes, you have no idea how much I really appreciate you making this fun, that I could enjoy my children rather than get frustrated with their joy in the store and climbing all over the cart. And she said, thank you, Halo. And as I walked out, I thought, you know, she just inspired me because I'm on my way to go home to my handsome, wonderful teenage boys, and I need to appreciate them the way I just taught this woman to appreciate her young children. And mm-hmm. it's that right back at you thing, you know.
Yes.
We think we share inspiration, but oftentimes, 99% of the time, I'm inspired right back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it kind of reminds me of the study that you're doing right now, Derek, on your other show.
Lord, change my attitude before it's too late.
And how we
love that.
We so tend to be discontent with mm-hmm. our daily life, and
mm-hmm.
we should be so content because we have so much, and we just don't realize.
Absolutely. Let's get to the giveaway because I'm going to cheat. I'm cheating.
Well, you're not
big
cheating because I haven't even.
You know what?
I haven't even set the page to go live yet, simply because I know you will enter.
Doesn't matter. I can touch your laptop, which means I can get into your laptop, which means I'll hack right into your Blog Talk Radio.
He's a hacker, Halo. This is
right
it's so fun to watch to see how this contest is working. I'm giggling. I'm listening to you too, and this is just hilarious. It's all good. I'm like, how does this contest work? Okay, so how does this contest work?
Here we go.
Now we'll get to
it. Doesn't matter how it works this time because I'm winning.
You're winning.
I'm winning.
You are.
Even if she comes back next week and gives another name, I'm going to put my name on the board.
See, he's trying to imply that it's fixed is what he's trying to do, Halo.
No, what I'm implying is that I'm fixing it next time. That's the only time.
I see.
Planning ahead. You're planning ahead.
There you go. There you go. I'm laying the groundwork. You know, that type
smart
of thing.
Smart man.
So.
Wisdom at its finest. That's great.
Okay, go ahead and tell them, Pat, that it okay. really is. It's legit. So can we play the jingle?
Yes, we can play
Jimbo, the jingle. Jimbo, play the jingle.
It's time for Let's Speak Literary Steal of the Week.
You hate that, don't you, Pat?
No, I'm sorry. It's growing on me.
Halo, she hates my jingle.
Giggle, giggle, giggle.
It's growing on me, slowly but surely.
All right, how do we do it, Pat? How do we
win?
We
have listeners out there that want to know what in the world's going on here. So.
Oh, my goodness.
We are offering a giveaway of Halo's book this week. The name of her book is Halo Found Hope.
Yes.
And it is an amazing testament to her faith and her strength and mm-hmm. her courage through her ordeal.
And you can win
and
it.
And the way that a person can win it is to go to my website, which we haven't even mentioned the name of yet,
mm-mm.
and it is www.patty, P-A-T-T-I, Sheen, S-H-E-N-E, .com.
Mm-hmm.
And you will see under the Blog Talk Radio tab a...
Another tab that says...
that says, in fact, it says Halo Matzel giveaway. Mm-hmm. I've even named it to where people know that that's the giveaway.
Can't miss it.
Yeah, exactly. And scroll down to the bottom. There's a picture of Halo's book there.
Mm-hmm.
And scroll down to the bottom. And at the very bottom, there's a little button-like thing that says add comment. You simply click on that. It will ask you for three things. It will ask you for your name, and first name is fine. It will ask you for your location, and that can be very generic, United States or wherever. You don't have to put your town or anything like that if you're not comfortable doing that. And email, of course, is something that is required because that's the only way I can get in touch with the winner to let mm-hmm. that person know that they have won. Please be aware that I do not use email for scamming or spamming or phishing or whatever they call it. I don't use it for anything other than to notify the winner that they won the book.
No spam, no fish, nothing.
That's right. In fact, as soon as the giveaway is over and the name has been drawn, which is drawn, by the way, through random.org, so not fixed.
Not this time.
Never fixed. then the whole page is entirely deleted. So there is no way that.
And then we will. And they have until Monday.
They have until Monday, the 30th of March this week
mm-hmm.
at 8 p.m. Mountain Daylight Time.
Okay. And then boom, you'll throw all those names in to random.org and
exactly
Derek Hutchison will come up.
We'll see. We'll see.
And then this Halo will find out from Patty and Derek who that beautiful winner was. And Halo will get out that pen and sign a personal note on the inside of the book, and off it will go in the mail.
Yeah.
That is very sweet, Halo. Thank you very much for that.
I should probably just tell you how to spell my name right now, Halo.
Let me get right on that, Derek. I think I know how because I have a nephew named Derek. It's an amazing name, by the way.
Oh, there's a lot of ways to spell it. That's right. He's probably gone through everything that I've gone through with the name Derek. So
Halo, it starts with a C. It starts with a C cheater, cheater, cheater.
Well, you know, with a name like Halo, oh my goodness, you know, Halo. How's it pronounced? How's it spelled? Well, it's spelled with an E, pronounced with an A. And
I love that.
Oh,
yeah.
Like an angel has a halo on its head, right? And go, well, you must be an angel. No, I'm not. But God bless you, you know, or Hilo. And my full name was Heloise. And so when I grew up, my parents would call me Weasel. My mom has an accent, so she'd call me Veezy. Hello, Veezy.
You were raised. You were born in a different country, weren't you, Halo?
I was born in Holland, Delft.
Yeah, in Holland. Okay.
Oh,
I was thinking
Holland.
Of Holland. Yeah, but you were all over
there.
Yeah,
I'm the first generation of immigrants to the United States.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah,
cool.
My parents had $200 to their name, and we boarded a boat, and I slept in a suitcase. My mom tied it open, and she couldn't sleep at all because she kept fearing it would shut on me overnight. But we made it here and then moved to Chicago and from there off to Seattle, Washington. So.
Oh, that's just amazing.
Now, was your dad a physician before he came?
No, my dad became a physician. He was a physicist. He studied in Chicago, and then he went to a PhD MD program in Miami, Florida, and became a doctor. And when he was about 28, 30 years old, he went to medical school.
Wow. The American dream, right?
That
there.
Is, man, absolutely. That's a story in itself, Halo. We'll have to have you back.
Yeah.
That's a story in itself.
I'll be back. I love talking with you. You guys are so fun. Call me
Halo
back anytime.
America.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, that's the name
there
of your
you
second
go.
Book. Halo
to be an American. It's all good.
Yeah.
No, we'll keep laughing this and you know, and going to strong places, God. It's all good.
Well, like I told you, Halo, we never, ever get through all of our topics because the time goes by so fast. But I did want to ask you something that I think would interest our listeners. Well, everything we've talked about has interested our listeners,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure. But your daughter, Lauren, she felt that she was protected against the severity of your condition by other family members. And then she reacted with a good deal of shock when she was confronted with the reality of seeing you in the ICU for the first time. How honest and forthright do you believe a parent should be with a child about illness? And I realize that that's a difficult question because you're talking about a wide range of age, but say a teen, because your daughter was a teen at the time.
Yeah,
she
a
not?
Teenager. Yeah, mm-hmm. If I had to give advice on all that, I think it would require another book. But it's, you know, with different ages of children. And I think, you know, the first thing is prayer. And my husband and I waited for a little bit before we told the children right away, because we waited until we saw the neurosurgeon before we had more facts. But the difficult part with telling our children was that my anticipated stay was only 6 days, and we really thought I was home. And so my dad, I'm the great physician here, and family physician, I should say, and my husband protected the children thinking that I'd be home shortly. And my daughter was currently in law school and very busy. Not at that time. She's in law school now, but she was in undergraduate school and wanted her to focus on school. My kids were busy with school and their activities. And but when the information that they were given as time progressed became different. And when she walked in and saw me in the ICU, said, "This is not okay. Mom's not okay."
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it
she had been living
that.
With a false security, probably, that was
pretty well
shattered that day, I bet. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. They were in shock, you know, and I know my mom would come in and see me daily in the ICU. And at one point, my body was slapped between two plastofabric sheets of ice, and I turned it into an icicle. And the reason for the ice sheets was to keep my brain from swelling anymore.
Yeah.
And every day my mom would come in and say, "Hi, Halo," no response. "Hi, Halo," no response. And one day she walked in, "Hi, Halo, I love you. God loves you too." She kept looking at me, no response. But then I lifted my hand about maybe half an inch, turned it, and it dropped. And that was my weak wave. And they were ecstatic.
Oh, I'll bet.
Yeah. I can imagine.
Well, when you came home, Halo, I believe your sons were 12 and 15 at the time. You mentioned that you gained; they had gained a level of independence because they had essentially learned to get along without you. How did that make you feel?
I wanted, you know, they had an early opportunity to spread their wings because I wasn't home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not time to fly out of the nest. And, you know, it was as if they were saying, "You know, Mom, we've learned how to call all of our own shots since you've been gone, so we're going to keep doing that." And it was like, "Hold on a minute, boys, that's not where you're going with it."
Mm-hmm.
And while I felt like I missed out on so much because they grew up in a hurry, and they were so thankful I was home, it was tender for a while there to readjust.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure.
You know, because I wanted to keep them small. Younger, I didn't want them to grow up in a hurry, and they already had, more so than they would have had I not gone into the hospital for 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Sure,
mm-hmm.
And, but today it's amazing. You know, it's grown us as a family, and I love them. They love me right back, and I don't let a night or day go by without saying, "I love you," and it's all good.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to admit, I didn't do that all the time before surgery. You know, we get so busy, we don't often say, "I love you" every day. So.
Yes, exactly. Halo, the very last thing I wanted to bring up, and I think this will pretty much wrap up the crux of all that we have been talking about. In your book, you stated, "Find hope in God. This is when his love gets real. So tell us, despite all of your trials, your fears, your doubts, how did you know that God's love was always present?
I learned in a delicate and the reason I'm left speechless on this for just a moment is because God, His affection and is so vast.
Mm-hmm.
And almost say, overwhelming at times.
It's like He leaves me speechless.
Mm-hmm.
And His love's incredible. And I, what I learned is that He holds on and never lets go. It's sometimes us that are turning our backs on Him.
Yeah.
But He's always there. And that was something remarkable that I learned. If I turn and face Him, like, hey, God, You've always been here. And He said, yes, my dear, I have. And I asked You to trust me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was probably the hardest part of this, was trusting Him. But, wow, how amazing it is to, you know, see how real and genuine His love is.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have we heard when we're most distant from God, it's us that move away, not Him, and we so easily tend to blame Him.
I can remember
where
that.
Where did you go?
I can remember that very clearly. Yeah, I'm just asking God and saying, hey, where did You go when I needed You? And very clearly hearing Him say, I've been here all the time. Where have You been?
Exactly. I didn't go anywhere. Yeah, I'm here. And I remember one day sitting at the piano and I couldn't transfer what I saw in the notes down to my fingers. And my dad said, this is the best therapy you'll ever do. And part of the lyrics go, angels, hold on tight.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me everything will be all right. Tell me if I stay or when I go. God has my soul. And that speaks to how, whether, you know, all of us are going to get called away from this earth at some point or another, but we're not staying here, and thank God we aren't, because this is not heaven.
Right.
It's to know that God is real is beyond just going to church on Sunday, beyond just pulling out that Bible every once in a while.
Yes.
It's knowing that He's by your side all the time. You just got to turn around and make sure you're looking at Him or looking up.
Yeah. Pat, we're out of time.
Halo, you have shared your heart and your soul with us, and we want to
thank you so much.
So welcome.
This show has been absolutely wonderful, and we want to thank you ever so much. I wish you the very best. I know you have several other radio and magazine interviews lined up, and be blessed as you get your message out to the world, Halo, because you definitely have one to give, and we can't thank you enough for your time with us today.
God bless you, Halo.
God bless you.
Thank you so much for inviting me. God bless you, too.
I want to remind our listeners to go to Halo's website, which is Halo Found Hope.
Yep.
And she also has a Facebook and a Twitter page by the same name. So go ahead and connect with Halo. I'm sure she would enjoy that.
What's next week?
Next week we have a lady by the name of Stephanie Lansom. She is the author of the Living Water series. These are three biblical fiction books that each tell a familiar Bible story. She'll share the travels that she's experienced while researching her books and many other aspects of her writing life. So I'm excited to have Stephanie with us next week. It's right close to Easter time, so I think that will be a great
show.
Fantastic. And I want to remind folks to go sign up for the giveaway, which is at pattysheen.com. Check on the Blog Talk Radio tab and you'll find it right there at the page. Giveaway.
Yep.
And let me remind our listeners, as always, throughout the coming week, let your heart be open to what God is telling you through your imagination and act upon it. Thank you all for listening. We look forward to seeing you back with us next Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. Mountain Daylight Time. God bless you all.
God bless.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a